Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back. Fuck.
Hey.
I said old time
coming too.
Yep.
Pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod. And of course, joining me, Shane, is David Egger. Hi, David.
Hi, Shane.
Hi.
I know. I have the lurgy.
Yeah.
I'm no well.
Man flu day 8, right?
I handle. Although I actually do genuinely think this one was the flu for a bit, but I handle colds and flus a bit as well as the Rangers back four handles long balls. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm here and I'm grumpy. So if today's a bit rannier than usual, and
it's the COVID 2023 you bought back from Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. Patient fucking zero here. But you know that way as well, that when you get, because you feel justified when you're ill, that you can behave in any way that you so wish, right? So when people are trying to be nice to me, and I should probably apologize to some of the poilers because they're asking a lot of questions. So it's like, how are you feeling today? And I don't want to talk about it. So it's like, yeah, not good. And they're like, right, do you need anything done? No. Well, what about this later on today? No, it's fine. Have you eaten? Fuck off. Just fuck off. Stop asking me questions and fuck off. So I apologize to all my friends who've reached out. Don't. I'll be back fine and fighting fit in a few days. But till then, just assume that I'm alive unless Sally lets you know something different.
All right. Todd Van Allen's here. Hi, Todd.
Hello. Just a quick question. David, how are you?
Fucking
how are you feeling, mate? You all right?
Yeah, well, it's nice, but you know, when you get like, you know, 30 people going, and I don't mind like how you doing, because then you just kind of, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. But then right. It's the whole sort of 8, 9, 10 questions, and because obviously I won't let them phone me. Well, they can phone me if they like, but my phone's on silent.
And right.
Do not disturb permanently. I don't do phone calls, so they have to send like 26 messages, and it's like I don't have the energy. You know that way, I'm at the stage where thinking hurts. Like, yep. Actually having to put cognitive thoughts into place are painful. So
someone hit the bottle again.
Well, if by bottle you mean this...
The NyQuil?
Yeah,
yes.
The rather mucus cough, which...
David's on the lean over here, folks.
Yeah. I've got... It's actually called mucus cough, this bottle that I hold in my hand.
Oh, and that's a good one.
That's like about a Mucinex kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's got that fat green guy with the fedora.
Well, the thing I like about it is I'm reading the ingredients here, right? It says glucose. That's okay, glucose. We all know what that is, right? You know, that sounds good and healthy.
Sure.
And then
Well,
methyl.
You'll eventually lose a foot, but go on. Yeah.
Right. Methyl hydroxine benzoate. Sodium citrate, saccharin, caramacine, red caramel, cherry flavor, ethanol. and purified water. So, you know, if that doesn't work...
You're drinking gasoline, that's basically
yeah,
what you're doing.
Basically. Yeah, basically. They slip that in at the end, though, don't they? They're like, oh, and by the way, we've stuck some petrol in here.
Right.
Just in case.
Well, you know what ethanol is, right?
No, not really. I'm one of these people who are happy to use ethanol without any understanding of its how it works.
Just so you know, ethanol's booze.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, I'm not allowed that.
Yeah.
Actually, I shouldn't be drinking that then.
Yeah, so, all cold medicines really have that kind of shit.
Yeah, I know. There is.
That's why you go to sleep.
did you guys have Neocitrin? Is that or is that just a Canadian thing?
That's a Canadian thing.
Okay, so Neocitrin is this cold and flu remedy.
Yeah.
It comes in a powder, and it's this lemon flavor. And you just add hot water to it. You drink it, and you're out. Right.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know how they've done it, but they've somehow crystallized booze or something so that it activates. And there were friends I grew up with that Christmas Eve, they would get the special Christmas drink. And that was a mug of Neocitrin so they could sleep and the parents could just wrap presents and get drunk. Like that was it. And they always talked about their special Christmas drink. Goes, what's that? It goes, oh, it's lemony. It's like, well, that should be pumpkin spice or something, surely. And then they described it. Oh my God. No.
Your parents drugged you.
Yeah. Really, like, the really tragic thing about that is, Todd, your friends were 36. But see, on that,
they come by every halfway through the year. Is it Christmas yet, man?
Yeah, there you go. But see that though, Shane, about your parents drugged you. All parents used to, and it's you mention it now to like younger generation of parents, like my friends who are parents now, and they're all like,
I get horrified at the thought of it. And it's like, do you not realize what your folks did to you?
My granddad, when he needed me to go to sleep, my dummy was dipped in whiskey, placed in my mouth. I would gurgle for a bit and go, oh, that tastes horrible, I assume, but then fall asleep. However, my mum to this day says, well, that's why you're an alcoholic. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I think, you know, you either are or
you are. It's a little bit more genetic than
that. I think the fact that my papa had a bottle of whiskey on him at all times is probably more of a reason why there's a strain of alcoholism that runs through our family, right? But it used to, and I just, you know, this is again why I couldn't be like the parent of a kid, because if a kid was screaming, and it would be one of the first things I'd think about is exactly what you did there, Todd, which is like, cough mixture will probably knock him out. And and it is frowned on although the other thing I think that's frowned on these days is, and how big's our female listenership these days? It's up to like 10% now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're like 9%.
You go, right. So can the 9% get in touch here if you've had children? That these days I believe it's very much seen that women should breastfeed rather than bottle feed.
Right.
And my sister wanted to bottle feed her kids, and she was put under quite a lot of pressure by the local community nurses, I suppose is the phrase. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you really should do it. It's so much better for babies. So eventually my mother, who's a strong woman, was there when the nurse came round, and Anne was feeling rotten. She just couldn't get it to happen. And my mum said, she's not going to do it. And then I said, well, you know, it's been shown, it's really good. In fact, studies show children are more intelligent if they're if they're breastfed rather than bottle. Mm-hmm. And my mum went, listen, hen, my son.
Right.
Right. She said, listen, hen, in my family, my son was bottle fed and all the other kids were breastfed, and they're all fucking idiots, and he isn't. So fuck your study. He's going to go with a bottle. And I was like, thank you, mum. I've never been more proud to be part of an example in my life than I was just that one.
That intro, like when you hear a Scottish woman say, "Listen, hen." That is the North American equivalent of when a black woman looks at you and goes, "Mm-hmm."
Yes.
Drop all tools and leave. You are done. Nothing you say will get you out of that.
If a Scottish mother says to you, listen, hen, you are fucked.
Yes.
Or the male equivalent, of course, is listen, son.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. or write you.
Yeah. These are just such great, because everyone listening to this is picturing their parent or a teacher or someone in their life who at one point has, right, listen, son. And you know that useful but painful words of wisdom are coming.
The very Midwest equivalent would be, yeah, no. And then whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because no, yeah, that's a good thing. But when you get, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's...
no. Yeah, no. There's one we had in my small town, and it wasn't an aggravated one, but it's just like one of these weird turns of phrases where you, when you'd agree with someone and you just go, no, but though, eh?
Yeah.
Like it's just, yeah, like, no, when but. You listen, it's like, okay, they immediately, they immediately disagree, but then they kind of, what? That, like, yeah, that three words go in five different directions at once. It's just, no, but though, eh?
Yeah. And another phrase that again, I think is universal, and I know that this is happening in America, and you have this in Canada as well, is when you ask your mother, and it's always your mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because your dad will he'll return the power to the other parent as he doesn't want to be the bad guy. So if you ask for something, right, and your dad will say, ask your mother.
Yes.
Right. Which means, yes, as he knows how it's going to go, but he doesn't want to be the bad guy.
Exactly.
And mum will say, we'll see.
Correct.
And we all know what we'll see means.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see you be over. Disappointed. That's what that is.
That means there is zero chance of what you have requested ever coming. Dad will never say that. Dad will always go, well,
what'd your mom say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and God forbid you ever lied and said she said it was okay.
No.
Jesus Christ.
You did that once.
My dog plays the parents against each other.
Oh, yeah.
He will be fed, right? He'll come over and get me, and he'll nudge me, and he'll be fed. And I said, okay, that's it. You're done. And 20 minutes later, he's going into my wife's office and nudging her. And she's thinking, oh, that dummy Todd didn't feed the dog.
Yeah.
And so she's just about to pour kibble in. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And she's like, well, you didn't feed the dog. I go, the fuck I didn't? Don't believe a word he said. And he's just looking up at her with like the sad eyes. Like, oh, and like, no.
He's lying. Don't believe him.
We've actually had to bring in a system now that whoever feeds the dog then actually goes and tells the other person
they have been fed.
Otherwise double dinner will take place, and they're not in any way sort of feeling.
Well, I will be out and get the text. Did you feed the dog? And go, yes, and don't let him tell you otherwise. You know.
Yeah. No, because I've got the cat now. And we had to take her off like the wet food, you know, the canned food. She kept, she was getting, it was giving her like allergy.
Really?
You gotta give a cat Benadryl, stop feeding it, whatever the hell you're feeding it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And,
but, you know, she would do this, like the second the other half would come home, she'd start in on the feed. I was like, fuck you. I fed you twice already today. Don't pull that shit. You're here with me all day, bitch.
Yeah. There's a reason you can't get through the kitty door.
Yeah.
Because you got a thick cat.
So we teased this at the weekend. David thought I was taking the piss, but now it seems to be a very real thing.
Yeah.
What's this? For anybody who wasn't paying attention on Twitter on Saturday or hasn't caught yesterday's Don't Ask Me No Questions here. I by myself have taken it.
Right.
There's no Narsa this year, as we all know, quite sadly.
Too pricey.
Yeah. Well, you know, New York, right?
Who would have thought New York would be expensive?
Yeah.
Well, no guess literature what is, I've ever seen.
Guess what isn't expensive?
Yeah,
Rockford. Yes. I've got meetings. Well, you know, like Gaz got in touch on the Twitter there because the Narsa ExecCon meets Wednesday. I've already got like 60% of this shit tied together. And after we get done here on the show today, I'm going down to meet with like the Convention and Visitors Bureau because, you know, they do all the liaison with the hotels and getting everything coordinated and whatnot. So I hope by Friday, We will have some like loose plan of what this will. Obviously, I'm going to have information for Gaz and all them at NARSA tomorrow, but a lot more information by Friday. Again, and I cannot stress this enough. I stressed on yesterday's show. This is not a replacement for NARSA by any stretch of the imagination. What it is a cheap option that we can get thrown together very, very quickly that, you know, if anybody still wants to take the trip away from the wife and kids at the end of the season, you will have an opportunity to come do something. Like I said, look, I'm like 40 minutes from O'Hare. You can go to the fucking city if you want. You can go anywhere else in America if you want to. But we will have all that, and it will have all this stuff. We have a casino. There's golf. You know, we can do the football match. We can do everything here. So
the Rockford Peaches Museum.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be open just in time yet.
Oh,
but what I can show you where all the old ballparks were. So
what about the files?
What about the whole? God damn, Jim Garner's dead, you asshole.
If I'm going to Rockford, I want to see the files. I mean, it was famous.
If I get you a cardboard cutout of Jim Garner and just leave it at your table the whole time, will that work?
I don't think I'd leave my room, frankly, if you gave me that.
Can I just say, while we're talking about him, apparently he's one of the nicest guys ever in show business.
Yeah.
Every story I've ever read about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen Barbarians at the Gate?
No.
Right. I recommend, because if you... it's a very famous business book, right? Believe it or not, about... it sounds a dry book, but it's about the takeover of RGR and the Bisco, right?
Yeah,
it sounds very dry, but it really is all about capitalism in the 80s and culture. It's a lot more to it, and it's a real classic. They made it into a TV movie, and it, you know, probably it's not the plottiest movie, although I'm going to talk
They're
about
taking over aliens. A cracker factory.
Kind of, well, in many ways, because it's in the Deep South, and it was a cigarette company as well.
That's right.
But James Garner is in it, and just having the fucking time of his life playing this part. It's on YouTube for free, so I recommend people watch it. He's just so fucking cool, and he was getting paid to walk about smoking fags, and his co-star is absolutely gorgeous in it, and he's, you know, getting to have fun with her, and it just looks like the best job in the world.
I think that goes you know what Todd was saying. I mean, a genuinely nice guy who always knew he was lucky to do what the fuck he was doing,
right? Like,
that's
yeah. It's very easy to see who are nice people out there by when you see a director that you like watching who you see again and again and again, right?
Yeah.
Like the Coen brothers love Steve Buscemi. They love George Clooney. Nicolas Cage has done one film. That's all you need to know.
Well, see, we're talking about movies then. I went to cinema to see Napoleon.
Yes.
I was looking forward to it. Well, right. Firstly, I did very well managing to keep my... That didn't happen. Okay, that happened, but it didn't happen then.
Were you there, David? How would you know?
Ridley Scott doesn't give a fuck about you.
No, he doesn't. I kept that down to just three occurrences, which I think was pretty cool. But what a very, very strange film it is. First of all, see the action scenes, see the war scenes.
Yeah,
brilliant, absolutely fucking brilliant. And it's a good job because that's all it is, right? Basically, what happens? I call me old fashioned, but I think a movie should have a plot, right? This is just incidents. So it's basically right. Here's France. There was a bit of bother going on. Spectacular bother, right? Okay. And here's Napoleon. He's this bloke, right? And here's it. They've now sent this bloke who we know nothing about other than he's whacking Phoenix and he's got a hat. They send him to go and do some fighting, and he wins at the fighting. And then he comes back and he meets this woman and he starts shagging her. We don't understand why she fancies him or why he even fancies her, just together. So they're doing a bit of shagging, and then he's off fighting somewhere. There's some more fight, and then he comes back from that and there's some shagging, and he goes off and he fights again, and then he comes back for 3 fucking hours. And it's
It was France.
See when they do the invasion of Russia and the retreat from Russia, right? 600,000 men walk in, 40,000 come back. inside 6 minutes, I thought, yeah, you didn't have a scriptwriter, did you?
Oh, I do have a question, because I haven't seen it yet. What was the water slide scene like?
Well, I didn't actually realize SeaWorld had opened at that point.
No. So I now know what movie you've never seen.
No.
Yeah, okay. Shane, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
I've seen 20 movies 400 times. Right?
And weirdly, one of them is 300.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know me, I'm very much of the age that I don't like new things. But
right. This is not a new thing. This is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I have seen that, but I saw it as a kid, and I think I was just slightly too young for it. I was more a Wayne's World in terms of
rewatched that recently, like within the past 6 months with my brother, because that was like one of our favorite films. And so we're like, hey, let's educate your kids. And so in back-to-back nights, we played Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and UHF Weird Al Yankovic. And we loved it. My niece and nephew, I think, couldn't have gotten to their phones fast enough. Like, they got on that like there was an Amber Alert, and they needed to know what was going on. They
were filing the Amber Alert on them. So
yes, exactly. Our childhoods are being taken hostage.
I did that with my stepdaughter one time with RoboCop.
Oh, yes.
I put it on, and she was like, it's all a bit silly, isn't it? And I thought, No, it's not silly at all. It's deadly and scary and
satire. Lots of satire.
It's all a bit stupid, really, isn't it? And then she's like the gore is just ridiculous and looks. Yes. And I was like, yeah, but it's the '80s. It was supposed fuck up basically. And when you get to fuck up in a description of a movie, then for somebody you're not going to win. But yeah, she was deeply unimpressed. Yeah,
there's for me, that movie boils down to like the scene that I will always remember and I will carry to my grave is the guy comes out of the toxic waste, right, and gets hit by the car, splashes everywhere, and the punchline is the shot from inside the car with the windshield wipers moving him aside. gorgeous piece of little punchlinery. Love it.
Weirdly though, she liked Starship Troopers, which is. What similar, kind? You know, Paul Verhoeven and very silly and very satirical. I think also a lot of fun, a really stupid movie, but a movie that is, it knows it's stupid. Therefore, you're
that's
in it and it
winks. Very important.
It winks at you and says, come on, but actually does have some fairly decent points to make. And it's got Doogie Howser in it. I mean, what more do people want in a movie these days?
Right. Apparently the guy, so going back to our point of like nice guys, Kurtwood Smith, the guy that plays Clarence Boddicker, right? Yeah. Usually plays pricks, you know, in that 70s show. He's a curmudgeon. He's, you know, one of the most cartoonish villains in RoboCop that you'll ever see. He's delightful. Apparently, again, nicest goddamn guy on the planet.
Yeah.
Apparently, everyone that works with him, he goes like, they all come in thinking he's going to be this absolute prick. And they're just, everyone is shocked. It was like, the guy just offered to buy me a sandwich. Like, it's just like, where is this coming from?
He kind of took a hit there. Well, along with pretty much everybody else except for Topher Grace. Because he was the only one to ever say, hey, this Dave Masterson guy is kind of a fucking pedophile. You guys should look at this. And whereas everybody else on the cast of that 70s show continued defending him for years until they finally went, maybe we should stop.
Right. It's like everyone else that was on that show when Hannibal Buress went, here's something you should know.
Yeah.
Everyone just kind of stares at the ground, puts their hand on their elbow. Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of things that people should just shut up about.
Ooh.
right before we got on here, I saw, David, your country.
Yes.
You know,
this is another great lead-in for this show. As soon as one of us turns to any of the other two and goes, here's something about your country, no good thing is coming. No good thing.
Well, I did love, too, you know, just to cross over a bunch of material. One of our old favorite Daily Record reporters, Mark McGivern, on the beat here for racist, in quotes, racist, Confederate flag at Glasgow's Grand Ole Opry banned for good. Now, one, It's time to ask, why is there one in the first place? But we can set that. Everybody needs a country and western bar, I guess. That's fine.
Yes! No. There's more, right, hold on, no.
I need to know more about this situation. Yeah, you do.
Everybody from Glasgow, right, or surrounding parts of Scotland, who's listening to this right now, is pulling the face I have currently. At this Let's go back. You know how, Shane, when you and I are asked to introduce Watergate to somebody and they say, right, so the burglary took place in 1972, and we say,
yeah,
no, we have to go back to 1864, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's a bit like this, right? So you have to start. Country and Western in Scotland has traditionally been huge, right? Like, I believe certainly it was a case in the early 2000s that pound for pound, like pound for head kind of thing, spend mm-hmm. out with the south of America, out with kind of Nashville, etc.
Yeah.
Scotland and Ireland, to be fair, but Scotland is the highest, right? And, you know, there's been various reasons for it. I think a part of it is, you know, obviously the it comes from a kind of traditional folk music. A lot of Scots emigrated, mm-hmm. a lot of Irish emigrated, and they took the instruments and it came from that, right? So, and then there's a whole wide open spaces, you know, the kind of glens and all that shite,
right.
Fields and stuff, right? So it's always been quite popular. And anybody of my age, especially working class people, will have remembered family parties as a kid where people would arrive, they'd have carryouts that were so big that you could open a fucking supermarket selling mm-hmm. booze with them, right? And they would basically, they would be drinking, and they'd be, and then about midnight the country and western would go on, and then about 2 a.m there would be a fight, right? And that is my family,
you know, so party. Far this all checks out, so
yeah, right,
yeah,
so
yeah. Are going note for note, like this is a frame by frame reenactment.
That's what I mean, more that you know, unites us and divides us, lads, right? And so country and western always been really huge over here. Yeah. In Glasgow, at the top, actually, of Paisley Road West, there is a very famous old place called the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. And it is, don't be fooled by the name, it's a country and western bar, what? Venue. Yeah, kind of theatre, right? But you honestly have to go in this fucking place to believe it. And it's a bit of a sort of rite of passage in Glasgow that most people will go there at least once and be like, what the fuck is going on? Because firstly, right, you go there and they're perfectly nice. And you guys, as you know, I love country music, like proper country music. I love the old stuff and I love alt country. I don't like the kind of right-wing steroid, you know, if you don't buy my record, Al-Qaeda win.
No. Give me some Merle Haggard.
Give me Senior,
Jerry Jeff Walker.
Yeah, I do love, however, picturing David, like, you know, turning off the radio and going, try that in a small town.
Johnny Cash, you know, that kind of thing, and Uncle Chip, all that, the good stuff. But anyway, right, so you go into this place and the music is kind of what you would expect. But the people who go regularly, right, firstly, cosplay is not a new thing that you get at comic cons, right? So the men are all walking about.
Or the boudoir.
Oh, yes. The men are all walking about in the cowboy hats and the boots and the fucking, you know, the fake, what do you call those things that your arse hangs out of? Chaps.
Over the trousers. They got the ridiculous vest. I'm sure there's a lot of bullet eye.
There is one month in Canada where that's appropriate, and I'm not talking about the Stampede. Okay.
They've got the little kind of gun, and they do like fake gunfights with I don't know what we called them, caps over here, right? They were little caps. Bangers, little fire caps, little fire tracker things. Yeah, so they do that, and the men go up and they draw, you know, like, get your gun, and they do the voices together. Oh, and then there's like line dancing and all that, and they take it so fucking seriously, right? So, anyone who's ever had the misfortune of stepping out of place at the wrong time because they're pissed during a line dance at the Grand Ole Opry will understand that this is not for fun, right? You're not fuck these people.
Right.
So, but then at the end of the night, right? Fuck. And I mean, even when I was a student, the first time I went there, right? I was 19 years old. I was a student. It was the mid-90s. And even then, right? I remember we were going there, and there's loads of students went, as I say, but I kind of rite of passage thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, people were very friendly and everything, and we were having a bit of a laugh at what was going on. I actually did, as I, you know, as I say, I liked some of the music, you know, because it was, you'd get like the high men and stuff, you know, right? So, but then at the end of the night, the hush comes over the hall. I'm like, oh, right, it's that kicking out time, you know, lights go down. And I'm like, right, okay, where are we going to go after this? And then they're, shh, okay, what the fuck's going on? And they do this ceremony, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That involves, they bring out the
a burning cross.
Flag.
Continue.
They bring out, and it's like, it's folded up very, and there's a reading and everything. And I remember at the time, this is 30 years ago, it was a less politically aware era.
Yeah.
And particularly less aware of international issues. But in the mid-90s, I even remember going, that's the fucking Confederate flag, by the way.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, but, you know, it's just the thing from, I remember a guy saying to me, he's like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's the flag of the South.
It's from the top of the Dukes of Hazzard car.
That's exactly what he said. He said, have you never seen the Dukes of Hazzard? Yeah. And I said, yes, and I liked the Dukes of Hazzard a great deal when I was five. However, that flag, it's flag of the American South. And he's like, yeah. What we're doing is we're just commemorating the war dead. I was like, do you know what they were fighting for?
Yeah.
Are you aware?
I would like to read some quotes here from, I'm going to assume Gary Noon's not a listener of the show or any of the, this was a 50-48 vote to get rid of this thing in 2023.
Wow.
I mean, Mississippi took it off their flag. You guys are fighting over this over there. Gary Noon said, quote, the Confederate flag isn't as racist as it's made out to be. Oh, Gary, fuck. Yes, it is. But yes, as any, look, you can have this conversation with any number of fucking people here in the United States. And by the way, Gary looks like somebody who would fit in. Yeah, remember last week I was talking about my old neighbor, Gil?
Yep.
Very, very strong resemblance to Gil.
Okay, good. Here's a pro tip just for people who are wondering about this. White people don't get to decide what's racist.
No. Okay?
That's just rule one.
To go on with Gary, well, yes, he's talking about the tradition of the flag folding as part of our trilogy ceremony. I want to know what the other two parts of the trilogy are. I don't. I'm a traditionalist, not a racist. This guy is checking your bingo card's full by the end of the. I don't have a racist bone in my body, and I have loads of friends from different countries. Lots of black friends, folks.
Yeah.
I know. Oh god.
I can't be anti-Semitic. My lawyer's a Jew.
I know. And my accountant. I know there are associations being made with the flag and events in America, but it's not being used in a racist way at this club, so we should not be banning it. It's a commemoration of those who died in battle. Again, for anybody,
of war, you have nothing to do with.
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, here's the thing.
Traitors to their country again for what? It's a really simple concept here. You know, for anybody who might get confused by some of the Lost Cause mythology, I get it. You know, they've been working on this stuff for 160 years. Literally, all you have to do is read the Charter of the Confederate States of America, where it mentions like 28 times specifically, we want our slaves.
Right.
And they won't let us keep them. That's it.
Well, I do have a bit of sympathy for him because he's saying there, you know, like, we're not using it in a racist way. And it's a bit like that time that...
But my it band. Is
no,
racist.
No, let me finish it. It's a bit like that time with my band when we started with a Horst Wessel song. Now, we didn't mean it in any way to be just because it was the Nazi war anthem. We were singing it because of its jaunty pop melody.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, it's exactly like you can't wave a swastika, even if you think it's a really nice flag, and say, well, it's just a nice flag. We've nothing against Jews. You're not allowed to do that, and there's a good reason for it. And again, it's just, as you say, it's people who are not involved in it, totally cosplaying at it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all well
trust her, the North and the Midwest is filled with that shit. I mean, Todd, you get in fucking Canada.
Like, oh, dude, we totally... Yeah. Okay, there is times where you think, oh, they just haven't done their research. And it was like I was in Napoli.
Are they four? And,
like, no, I was in Napoli after they won the Serie A championship. And so they had celebration badges. Like, you look down every street and it's just baby blue and white. Like, it's just everywhere. And then over the streets, they had like champion flags and that sort of thing. And they had not an exact Confederate flag, but it was a replica of it with the words in the middle. The translation of the phrase, the South shall rise again, because they're in the South. And I'm like, you haven't done your homework. Or maybe they have. I don't know which way to go.
They are Napoli supporters. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think it is. It's just, especially if you want to buy a very, in all seriousness, if you really want to buy a romanticized version of, you know, the South and the mythology that Shane just mentioned.
What's the Gone with the Wind bullshit? Look, they did this shit specifically to cloud the fact that guys, this is a very well-known situation. The second the war was over, they started doing this shit, right?
Yeah.
It's when they started slapping up statues and all this other crap, which we're still having to fucking...
That are like, they were as hollow as like those shitty chocolates that you get at Easter, where you just go, is this a good rabbit? And then you bite the ears and you're just tasting air.
Fuck. You are allowed, incidentally, to look at the war and see that there was tragic consequences and bravery on the both sides, in much the same way you can look at World War II and say Rommel was a very, you know, intelligent general in the way... Right, so you are allowed to do that. What you're not allowed to do is celebrate and glorify things that are, you know, reprehensible. And unfortunately, a war that was fought because people, you know, again, you'll have so many people say it's not as simple as that. It is as simple.
No, it's very simple.
They wanted to keep slavery. They didn't just want to keep slavery, they wanted to expand slavery. That was what they were upset about. And though they lost the war, they then brought in things like the Jim Crow statutes, which was kind of what we would know as slavery and fought against it. So it's just, but again, it is, it's just adults growing up and saying, well, look, I like this and therefore I want to keep this, and none of the issues that this thing represents affect me in any way, so therefore I would just like to keep this. And it's easier to shout bloody PC gone mad than to actually say, well, hang on a minute. But well done to the 50 who banned it. And using
I will say too, I want to, you know, this has been a theme of the show, I think, over the past few years. But and please, if you are that fucking ignorant or racist or whatever it may be, by all means, show your ass in public as often as you want to and let everyone around you know. Right. Yes. I think that's the best course of action for you. That way people can determine whether or not to cross the street when they see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the world's typically a better place. Like,
right. I get to decide whether I go to the cake shop that is owned by a racist or not owned by a racist. Right. That's free market.
Well, and Gary, look, you can go home and burn a cross in your front yard or whatever the fuck it is you want to do.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, again, as you said, for the 50 people who said, fuck this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're losing, like, productions from, you know, theater companies and shit. Like, there's a reason people don't want to be associated with it. It's not because it commemorates people who died in battle. Mm-hmm. It's because it's about slavery. It's about owning other people. Right?
If you're part of the 48, may I suggest a little visit to hateflags.com?
Yeah.
I haven't heard from them in a while. I hope they're doing good.
But it's just, people can get, understandably, people can associate stuff with whatever they want it to. And I think we see it a lot, unfortunately, in the UK, where the Union flag, to use its real name, is that people who kind of self-hate, and British people who, you know, are big fans of every country other than the one they're from, will try to kind of make it into an evil symbol, which, you know, it isn't. The Confederate flag does represent entirely a nation that all nations have done good things and bad things, all of them, right? Mm-hmm. So you can obviously, you know, a wee bit like a buffet, you can pick the ingredients to make what you want.
I'm not
be.
Sure that the Confederate
with the
States
exception
of
the Confederacy, yes.
Right.
With the exception of the Confederate States of America flag, which is just all bad, right? There is no buffet to be had where you construct. Your argument is basically it's a nice flag and it was in the Dukes of Hazzard. That's not enough. Right.
Look, folks, this show is three times older than the Confederate States of America lasted.
So there you go.
here's
the thing, too. And just when you said it was a place called the Grand Ole Opry, I'm amazed that it passed the sniff test for copyright infringement, because there was a bar in Toronto that used to have a fantastic comedy night called Betty's. Betty's used to be called the Betty Ford. Mm. And they got a sternly worded letter that they hung on their wall saying, naming a bar after our rehab clinic, not the best. So how about you stop it?
The reason I think that it's been there so long is that now they would have the argument that no one is traveling to, and they would win on this one over here, that no one is traveling to it. There's no confusion. People are not going, where's Dollywood? Well, it's 3,000 miles away. You've come to the wrong Grand Ole Opry.
Dollywood's not even in Nashville, you jackass.
Right. Well, to be fair, there's a lot of people who have flown to Australia thinking they're going to Austria for a semifinal.
I
thought Costa Rica was in Spain. What the fuck?
Isn't Costa Rica one of the ones you? No, it's Puerto Rico. One of the ones you. They're one of your ginger states.
Puerto Rico is one of our slave states. Yeah.
That you won't acknowledge. Yeah. Puerto Rico is one of. Can we have statehood? No, you can't. Can we go independent? No, you can't. that's yours. But despite all we've said this afternoon, if you're a Glaswegian and you've never been to the Grand Ole Opry, I urge you to go once in your life. Right, there's like fucking bales of hay in this place, folks. I'm not making this shit up. Right, at the top of fucking Paisley Road West, just get the subway to Kirin Park and go across, and it is. Very few places these days in the 21st century, when the world is so small where you can travel thousands of miles and it's the same shops, very few places can you actually walk into and think, was there a wormhole outside?
Did I go back in time?
Yeah, very few places, and the Grand Ole Opry is certainly one of them. But
Who grew up in small town Ontario and was surrounded by this shit, I would urge everyone to not.
have you seen, actually, I'll tell you what it is, for those of you who don't know, who here has seen the movie 48 Hours?
Of course.
Yeah. The bar where Eddie Murphy goes in and pretends to be a policeman and says, I don't like white people and I don't like shit kickers. And you people are white people and shit kickers. That's this bar, right? It just sans Eddie Murphy. That's
to be fair, I do have my own sort of one of these like this, because when we're in Italy, the small town we live in is right close to Frosinone, so we have to drive by this place every time we go get groceries. And it's a place called, you may have seen this, David, it's in four countries, apparently, with locations everywhere. It's called Old Wild West.
Have you seen it? I've seen it.
Okay.
Yes, I've seen Old Wild West.
I get the feeling it is what to Americana food is to Tony Macaroni's attempt to Italian. Like, I'm assuming it's that. And every time I drive by, I point at it and threaten my wife. And she goes, we're not going there. I went, yes, don't we fucking it. Are. It's like, why not? Why are we going there? It says, you don't want to see how they do a half rack here. You don't want to see what the Italian take is on pulled pork. Are you kidding me? Yes, we're going to see this.
I've been in one when I've been in Europe, and it's, again, it's like Irish bars, right? There must be a shop. There must be a shop in the world or a factory.
No, there's like the Sky Mall catalog, but for Irish shit.
Yeah, it makes all that shite that you get in Irish bars. There must be a southern country steakhouse one for Europe, right?
Because it's called Cracker Barrel, David.
Again, Shane, that's twice we've used that word today, and I believe it's racist.
Barrel?
Right? I asked for Jacob's crackers on a plane the other week. I was nearly arrested. Right.
You get a black person to go in and look around a Cracker Barrel. They will look at the sign again and go, "That tracks."
Yeah. It's a barrel full of crackers.
Just a barrel full of crackers.
But there must be a shop that. But you walk into this place, right, and it is your proper fucking. You know, like, and again, the kitsch is the word that's kind of coming.
Yes.
And if you're, and although equally, you guys, I remember the first time me and my wife went to America, and my wife, who I thought, oh, this is going to be a very cool holiday, said to me, "We have to go to Hooters." And I was like, oh, oh boy, here we go. But it turns out she just really liked the buffalo sauce and she wanted to buy a couple of bottles.
Right.
Genuinely, oh, so we've got bottles of
even
sauce
salivating the entire time, and it's not because the wings are saucy.
I don't even like I don't even like the sauce, but she loves it. But the thing is, when people see it in the house, they look at me and I go, "Fuck all we do with me." Right.
She's the one that likes Hooters. Lucky you. It's not like that.
It's not like that either. This is just double disappointment. It's just disappointment all in.
Just disappointment dipped in ranch sauce. That's what's going on here.
Just blue cheese or nothing. Come on. Fuck off. We having this discussion? Come on.
Blue cheese. No, we're not, because we're taking the break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to part two of the Crow Pod, of course, brought to you by our good friends of famousheadwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. Like I said, I'm trying to, we're going to give away like everything for December within the first week, so that way people get it in time for Christmas, you know, if you need like stocking stuffers, or you just want cool shit from our friends, you know, you can get it. So all you got to do, you go down, hit the buy me a coffee link in the show notes here, or go to support.thecopelandroad.org. We give away stuff from them every single month to people who support the show. And I didn't come, I don't know, I kind of fucked my wrist. I think Mark Boyd there at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride could probably work on my wrist if I could, you know, fly 4,000 miles, but maybe when he comes over for the Crow Pod Fest in June,
I'll get him bring your table.
Yeah, please, man, that would cool.
I just wanted to say, well, first of all, I could use his services as well because it's small in my back. I think I sneezed it out of whack, so that's the age I'm at. I just want to send out a quick shout out to a couple of folks. First of all, the lads at Toronto Central, who make their home at the Madison in Toronto. They came out to the Write 'Em Up show that I did at Comedy Bar. It was great to see them, hanging out with them. It was fantastic. And got some late birthday beers in with them, so that was good. And also a shout out to Boo Boo at the Ottawa Club, because just before the Aberdeen game, he ended up in hospital for some stuff. So, and then of course the group chat for the club is all the "God, that game's not going to help you," and so on. So, yes. So get well soon, Boo Boo, and
I got that. Gary from Toronto Central there. He asked one of the most critical questions. I thought it was important to bring it, you know, again, we talked about it on yesterday, and don't ask me no questions, or me and Danny, but I think it is important for people to understand, again, this is not a narcissist replacement, but even more critically, you can go out in my town with about $35 in your wallet and get absolutely pished. So, your normal pint around here is about $4. There's plenty of bars we can go to where I can get you a pint of PBR for $1.50, right? So, I mean, it will work in that regard. Everybody will leave here very hungover. So that is my guarantee. Now, and look, as long as you don't go to places that I tell you not to go to, you should also get out of here alive. So if I say don't go west, don't go west. All right? Yeah.
That entire sentence is the town motto.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Listen to Shane, population 36,000.
Well, there was one. Yes, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday or Friday when they were. No, it had to be yesterday when I was talking to Danny. But I could hear a gunshot like in the background, and then you know, right, when I got done, I logged on to Twitter, xtwitter.com there in the Rockford Police Department, which is, you know, they have an account, which is basically just a running gunshot ticker. they already had it up there. So yeah. Don't go where I don't tell you to go.
Yeah.
Your marketing for this event has really taken a turn.
I have lived here for fucking 12 years, right? If I thought it was that bad, I would have left a long time ago.
But it's also going to be fun for the, at the end of the Saturday night when we have our flag folding ceremony.
Right. I'll tell you what, anybody who wants to fold up a Confederate flag, there are certain parts of town I will gladly send you into where you can go ahead and try that. I think I think you might learn a couple historical lessons and the fact that, you know, it's not about tradition to some people, or perhaps they don't like the traditions routinely associated with the flag. So yeah, I didn't really have anything for a second. I mean, I don't want to talk about the football because that was miserable. So,
yeah,
that was a thing.
It's like me reading Martin's book. I just wish it would. I wish we had something that could finish. Yeah. I wish. Right. Actually,
we did, and he was called Mark Hatley, who, by coincidence, he's appearing at the Heart and Hand live show at New Edmonton House on Friday, and at the moment, at least he's fucking guaranteed, whereas I'm Ryan Jack-like 50-50 at the moment. Because, I mean, I'll be there, but can you imagine, like, come on stage, and everybody's standing, you know, 800 people, and I'll be like, hey, good evening, everyone, it's nice to be here, that's a fucking lie, they're going to talk, nobody bother me, somebody get me one of those things that Todd was talking about that tastes of lemon and makes you sleep.
Right. Neocitrin. Grab a box.
One of those.
You are going to be like, they'll introduce you onto the stage. You'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the host of the show, David Edgar. And a la Jack, you will come out and then talk for 5 minutes. See, it's not a go. Grab your hamstring. Look over to the side. Do the substitution move, and then just walk off.
Well, this is the habit. Yeah, some tickets still available. Go to the Edmonton House website. You'll be able to get a hold of them and come see us.
You'll be by then.
I doubt it, but I will be there regardless, come hell or high water. But if it does degenerate into me just standing there doing Stephen Wright jokes.
Might be your best live show ever in that case.
You know, still one of my favorite lines of all time is the Stephen Wright one where he said, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it.
Yep.
Fucking genius. Absolute genius.
I love his, it's a longer form joke for him, which is weird, which means it's like three sentences. He's like, I was doing the dishes and I saw a bird walking by. He's got a sign that says, I'm not flying anywhere. I open up the window and say, hey, buddy, what's up? He goes, summer's here, winter's there. I don't know who devised this plan, but it certainly wasn't a bird. He goes, I can understand your frustration. You want, come on in. You want some breakfast? You want some eggs? Sorry.
There's so many Stephen Wright quotes that what's another word for thesaurus?
Right.
And it's this one's actually very true. Right. I've brought a few up here. He's like, okay. I kept a diary right after I was born. Day one, tired from the move. Day two, everyone thinks I'm an idiot.
Right. Yeah. I bought a decaffeinated coffee table. You can't tell by looking at it.
I went down to the street to the 24-hour grocery. When I got there, the guy was locking the front door. I said, hey, this thing says you're open 24 hours. He said, yeah, but not in a row.
Yeah. I adore that his, like, I don't think it was his first applause break, but it might have been. And it's just this line just delivered so well. About 6 months ago, it was yesterday.
Right now, I'm having amnesia and deja vu at the same time. I think I've forgotten this before.
Oh,
Just an absolute proper fucking comic. Yeah, if you take one thing out of today's show, folks, it's buy a ticket for my live show. But if you take another, it's go and watch some Steven, because the delivery is also what just absolutely makes it. He's just so fucking funny, just spitting these things out one after another, that deadpan style. And of course the hair. Any man committed to walking about
Garfunkel
like that,
envious of it.
I did see a great recently someone had done a doctor of album covers, and one of them was Simon and Mother Funkel.
Yes.
And it was some of their hit songs include Does He Look Like a Bitch and various other great hits. The Futurama joke on that absolutely fucking killed me. It was so stupid, but it made me piss myself laughing. Mm-hmm. Bender's Folk Festival, Cylon and Garfunkel.
Beautiful.
And when they come and it's like, are you going to Scarborough Fair? And then the silent goes, Bursley St. Rosemary in time. I thought I was gonna fucking pass out.
Oh, if you're poking around and looking for stuff, there's a great documentary about the Boston comedy scene where Stephen Wright figures prominently. It's called When Stand Up Stood Out, and it looks at the comedy scene from the 70s, 80s, and onward. And there is a moment when Stephen Wright got the Tonight Show, everyone kind of, you know, from the scene gathered around their TVs. It was like when Norm Macdonald got his first, in Ottawa, we all kind of gathered around TVs to watch his. Do you guys know what Norm's first network debut was? Which talk show he was on?
Conan.
Nope.
No.
Network debut, Pat Sajak's talk show.
Pat Sajak. That's right. I was saying Tom Sajak. Schneider.
That was his. And he did it like two or three times. But the funny thing was, is that when Stephen got the show, everyone went, oh my God, that's great. But then every other comic in Boston, like, okay, when is it my turn? Everyone was kind of clamoring for the same escape.
Well, there's a Morrissey song back before he was what he's become, but that really sums it up. It's called We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful.
Yes.
And we also hate it when they're immigrants, apparently.
That's the updated 21st.
That's the updated. That's the remaster.
That's the new one. But we hate it when our friends become successful. And it is that, look, it's true a bit, isn't it? Like, you know, I've been very fortunate with what I've done over the last few years, right? And one of the things I like about it is that whenever something nice happens for me, my friends will always get around me and go, you fucking cunt. Yeah, and I admire that. Like, it's much better. Don't kiss.
I'm not going to lie. That was my initial reaction to the cardigan that you showed us there while you were away. So
I told people.
I didn't really want to again because I'm still pissed off about it.
I'm
over in Hong Kong, right? It's a pretty great thing that's happening anyway, right? I'm over in Hong Kong and we're sitting, sort of eating and having dim sum and all this stuff. I'm sitting and Richard Goff is there and hearing all these great stories, and you're just kind of thinking, wow, you know, I'm so far from home, and try to take it all in. And Rob, God love him, because I've done some terrible things to this man in my time. But Rob, God love him, says, I've got something for you. I thought, thanks very much, Rob. And he hands me a waistcoat, right? A cardigan, a sleeveless cardigan.
Yes. Yes.
Navy blue with a red.
Instantly fucking recognizable.
Sure.
And I said, is this what I think it is? He said, yes. Walter gave me that. Many years ago, obviously, when he was in charge, he says he literally just took it off because I'd made a joke about how much I loved them and I'd never seen them for sale. And he gave me it, and I was like, I can't accept this. And he goes, no, look, he says, it just sits in my drawer. And, you know, I know you've got your collection, so at least it will be, you know, displayed and everything. I was like, oh, Rob, this is incredible. But Alan, and genuinely, I said, look, I can't accept this. He said, if you don't accept, I'm going to give it to Adam. I said, I'll accept it.
Okay.
And people have said to me, like, my wife said to me, are you going to try it on? I said, no.
What?
No.
Dude, that's the first thing I would do. No, are you kidding me?
Nope. I would, like, a match worn top, maybe, but no.
Nah.
Well, hold on. Shane, you know where I'm coming from, don't you? Shane,
I wouldn't do that. No.
I want to feel the vibe. I want to feel it coursing through me at chest level. I want to know what it's like to have a very strict 4-4-2. That's what I want.
It's pride of place. Immediately, genuinely, first thing I did when I got home was opening, going, put it, make sure it was all pristine and everything. But
do they have one in the museum?
They're not getting mine if that's where you're going with it.
right. There is something like sometimes there can be a trap to it. It's probably good you didn't, because Dana Gould has this lovely, it's not really a joke, but it's like a conversational piece that he does where he talks about the fact that he's a huge Planet of the Apes fan, like the original TV series and the movies and all that.
Yeah.
Loves that. Weirdly, not a fan of Tim Burton's. Don't know why. But I think he got it actually from Roddy McDowall. Like, I think he actually met Roddy McDowall, and he gave him like the original mask from the movie.
Huh.
And he is like, what? Oh my God. And so he gets it inside the house and he's like, well, this is happening. And he slides it over his head and he's looking in the mirror. And he looks like Dr. Zaius, I guess is the character.
Dr. Zaius. And he
breathes in, and decades of deteriorated latex just enter his lungs. So then he rips it off and goes into a near fatal coughing fit. So.
God. You have to treat these artifacts with a bit of respect, man. You can't be like going up. But then we were talking the other week on the show, weren't we, about the Sotheby's Star Wars props? And the actual fucking C-3PO mask, mm-hmm. the original, the one that was worn in the first three movies. You would put that on. Actually, given that it cost $1.5 million, you probably wouldn't.
No,
you'd be sorely tempted to.
I am wearing that on holiday.
That was
what I saw, like one of the proton packs from Ghostbusters, like one of the actual props on an auction again. Fairly, it went for like $134,000,
which is nothing.
I would wear that around every fucking place. Like, honey, I'm going to get cigarettes. Hold on.
Yep.
Yeah, proton pack,
wallet keys, proton pack, right? Already. It's
Shane's lighting darts off of the gun part.
It's like when I wanted to buy, there's a prop store that sells Star Wars stuff and sells actual stock. They made for the movies the Stormtrooper suits, and you can buy these, right? Fair enough. So and they're like $2,000, and I said, Sal, I really want one of these. And she's like, where would, and I loved it. I love the fact she actually asked this, first of all. But she went, when would you ever wear it? And I was like, oh. Right, because that's why I was buying it. So I needed a suit, right?
you're rocking up at our annual managerial unveiling.
Yeah, that's it. Then I actually did. I thought about it. I went, actually, when wouldn't I wear it? Because you're right.
Correct.
It's exactly what Shane said. You'd be like, hang on a minute, just there we go. What's that? What does it fucking look like? It's just Stormtrooper. And when I was at the uni, we had, Freshers Week every year, right? And every year, we would bring down these guys who would come and part of the dance troupe. And one of them, or a few of them, were Stormtroopers, and they did a sort of dance thing. But these guys would be on campus, and every student wanted a picture. Even now, 46 years after Star Wars came out, people still, that there's some magical about it. And these guys were fucking there all day getting pictures taken with them as students, and it still didn't matter the age of the, generally males, I'll admit, right? But it didn't matter the age of his employees, students, anyone. They walked by and were all going, how fucking cool are those suits?
I hasten to think that at some point we're going to come to the UK and David will have started up the 502nd Legion. Just a whole bunch of him in like the Copeland and just,
I just think that I can't believe it hasn't become a fashion, because deep within all men is a desire to walk about in a stormtrooper suit.
Or the Han Solo outfit.
Yeah, or the Han Solo, or Darth Vader. That, like, yeah. You know, I've been 46 years on this planet hoping they would like capes would make a comeback, but so far.
I happened to be at a Sens game when it was Star Wars Day. And that's it's a big thing for the kids. Like, the kids like to dress up in you know, whatever.
Kids,
and you
get kids to going kids. To like 87-year-old
that's
men.
That's true. Yes. There are an awful lot of fat 3POs. Like, there's a lot. But they did have the team sent around for pictures. You could get a picture with a stormtrooper, or I'll let you guys guess who is the other character, and it is canon to episode 4. Mm. And it's a type of character, and not Greedo? A specific character. Like, it's not, no. So it's not Greedo. Wow. It's not Darth Vader, but it's a type of character. They had a stormtrooper.
Jawa.
And that would have been cool. I would have loved it. Ooh, TD. No, they didn't have one of those. But you're very close, David. You're so close.
Sand people.
You got her. Tusken Raider.
I was discussing this with the boys the other night, actually, because I did the rewatch of them on the planes, right? Sure. My annual rewatch. You can talk to me about fucking The Exorcist, right, or Nightmare on Elm Street, or any of these so-called scary movies, right? And I know there's modern ones that are much scarier, right? You can talk to me about that. There is no scene more fucking terrifying in the history of cinema to all of us, because we all watched it as kids. It's when that fucking sand person just
pops up.
That is fucking terrifying. And that's in a universal. That's like the lowest certificate. You know, 1-year-olds are allowed to watch this movie, and there's a fucking scary ass dude with a big stick standing.
Right. I will. Okay. An honorable mention to whatever the fuck it is in the trash compactor. That's a good one as well.
The snake thing or whatever.
Yeah,
horrible bastard of a thing.
The thing that shows up in hentai porn. That thing. What is that?
A scary ass thing. Have you ever seen the Family Guy one of that, when Han Solo and Chewbacca, which is Peter and Brian, they're like, look, somebody's throwing away this couch. And Han goes, look, I know we're escaping, but I'm taking this couch.
Oh, man. David, I'm shocked you went to bed so early last night, knowing that your Minnesota Vikings were on. And also, you could have watched possibly the worst NFL game in history.
Bears win! Bears win!
12-10 or whatever the fuck it was.
Here's the thing. I didn't even watch that game because I was too busy watching the UFC match that ended up into a hockey game between between Florida and Ottawa.
Oh, I love the referees. One of the brilliant things the NHL does is, you know, like, the referees have to go on the microphone and explain what penalties are to the crowd and to the cameras. Right. It's a good idea. I think football should do it.
You know you're in for a bad one, though, when the ref turns on the mic and goes, okay.
Yeah, no, he's like, you know, 2 minutes for roughing for so-and-so, 2 minutes. And then he goes, like, just runs his hand in a circle and goes, and everyone on the ice has a 10-minute misconduct penalty.
Right, yes. I'm not going to name names, just like, if you're on the ice, you know who you are.
You're done.
Go check the shift sheet. Go.
There's a really good hockey story kicking around right now. Corey Perry, who, you know, Todd, well aware that everybody hates, signed with the Blackhawks to be like, you know, veteran tough guy presence for these brilliant young players that they have, you know, like Bedard and whatever. So he's been away from the team for a few, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks now. Nobody's really explained why. And the NHL, you know, their labor agreement, again, the NHL give the most, but, like, you know how in the NFL they have to disclose injuries by Friday and, you know, for gamblers and everything? The NHL, all they have to tell you is that it's a lower body injury or an upper body injury.
Correct.
That's it. So it's already vague in these terms. But they've given no reason for why Corey Perry had been away. And then it started coming out yesterday that it's likely he fucked Bedard's mom. And
yeah. I will ask one small. She hot?
She's not bad looking. Yeah, I'll find you a picture. All right. No, the only sad part with the football game last night, David, was that our glorious boy, our astronaut there, kind of got brought back down to earth and a reminder why he wasn't in the NFL.
Yes. Lovely fellow.
Volunteer, love the man.
Did you know that the Vikings are the only team, and this is grasping at straws right enough, but have never had 3 successive losing seasons in NFL history. So we're consistently, I've never had back-to-back, the losing seasons in NFL history. The only side have never done that. So they're consistently all right, but they just never do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of a Vikings fan.
There's a lot of Super Bowl appearances there in the 60s and 70s, but,
Well, basically,
across the line.
No, there was a nice thread on Follow where someone said, a lot of us are into NFL. Do you have a team? And if so, how did you pick them? And I said, because I was 7. And Vikings, when you're 7, sound really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that was as good a reason as any. I thought, I'll go with them. And I also thought, being 7, well, Vikings, they're going to just destroy
everybody. Yeah, see, that's because even I'm doing the
You're like 30 years from their television renaissance at that point.
Well, I mean, like, he's after the Fran Tarkenton era. So, like, they're stuck in perfect Viking mediocrity at that point.
Yeah. They have been absolutely consistent my entire lifetime.
Yeah. Yep.
But the good thing is I can always relax and enjoy the NFL season when it starts every September, because I have zero expectations. Well, I know what's going to happen, and
you're going to be like 9-7 or whatever. Yeah, ten and seven,
and then
maybe in for a wild card.
Maybe in for a wild card. Then they'll get knocked out first game, and I can enjoy the route to the final, and you never have to worry. You know what you're getting, and it's very consistent. Whereas you get these, normal
like
teams.
Being a 49ers fan.
Yeah, will occasionally have fantastic years, and you will occasionally have fucking awful years. We never have that. It's just solid. We basically flatline, and you know what that means, right? Yeah. When you flatline, it means that's the Vikings. They just sort of exist, float along. But you know what it's like. You made your choice, age 7, and that's me. So
Go Bears. Same reason.
Yeah. Go Bears.
The fridge Perry.
Yeah,
that was it. Shane, I did open this. I did open the link that you sent.
Very, very hockey mom, right?
Very hockey mom.
Yes.
I will say this is like, another sex problem at the Blackhawks. Well, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they're both of age this time, and
consenting for sure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a slight taste of grooming, just a soupçon, if you will. Yeah. But
oh man, yeah, it's no.
No,
I mean, it's incredibly funny.
Oh, my favorite thing is that because the two brothers were playing against the two Tkachuk brothers.
Oh yeah,
against each other. I don't know what feed you were watching, but on the Canadian feed, they kept snapping to the grandma who lives out here, and she was disgusted with both of them. She's just sitting here going, "How long do we have to sit here and watch this?"
It's like whenever WWF would cut to like Diana Smith, whenever David Boy and Bret Hart. Oh, goddamn. I forgot too. Since Adam's gone from Twitter, I'm not doing anything with the NBA team stuff until he gets back. So just so we're clear.
Week. Yeah. Next week.
Okay. Well, whenever he gets back, then we'll figure it out. Because I was going to tag him in something and be like, hey, by the way, need this, but since he's
he's taking a 1 week break. He'll be back next week.
Okay, good enough. So we'll have NBA nonsensory at some point there. So let's rack through. We only got a few questions this week here, so knock these out. Our good buddy Rob Shorthouse there, who gave David his lovely little gift. Given it was 3 decades before David Holmes was invited back to Ibrox for the crime of disagreeing with David Murray, During which decade of the next century should Michael Beale be asked to pop by?
Yeah, Rob is Rob. For those of you who are hard hand listeners, will know not a big fan.
No, not a big fan.
I don't believe
any of us are.
We have never at Rangers, right? We have never ever been intolerant of incompetence, and we, as a support, are the worst, I think, for romanticising the past. As soon as something's finished, you'll always get a fan going, ugh, wasn't he that bad? You know, we always do that. And I'm sure so, but to be fair, it's, good God almighty.
Right. Yeah. When you see the oceans boiling, that's when he can knock on the door.
What, just to be told to get the fuck? You're not coming here.
Exactly. Unless he's bringing ice, you know, then.
If he gets another job and he buys for the money that we paid for them some of the duds that he saddled us with, then yes, he can come back for a visit, not in any capacity to work.
Agreed.
Honestly, maybe if he just paid for Cyril Dessers right now, that would be, I might be okay with it.
Out of pocket.
Yeah.
Like, and just couldn't, like, not signing him with a team, just like have him hanging around his house.
Yeah.
But the problem is he'd just be like going around knocking pictures off the wall or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
It's like,
When your 4 million pound striker doesn't come on when you need two goals.
Yes. Can you imagine the state of the floor around the garbage pail? It would just be banana skins and coffee grounds. That's all it is.
Mark Westo, David, are you going to Cardiff or Manchester to see Avril Lavigne next summer?
No, I'm not. I actually was thinking about that. I think my traveling days for gigs may well be over. I think it's
top Canadian talent.
The reason he's asking is I genuinely love Avril Lavigne. There's no, I unironically love Avril Lavigne. Absolute pop. Little pop minstrel minx that she is. So
were you a skater boy?
She's a clone. I was way too old. She's a clone.
No, I was 25 when Skater Boy came out. I wanted to shag her. You know, but my wife, being an all-round good sport, as I mentioned before, one of my Christmas presents she got me is a signed, autographed photograph of Avril Lavigne in her underwear. In her underwear, not Sally's underwear. That would have been weird.
Oh, no, that'd be awesome. That's a mail-in. Are you kidding me?
That would have been weird. I think you will go a long way. One of my favorite songs of all time, genuinely, unironically, is Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. An absolutely corking pop tune.
I don't really have anything to say.
So, if she was playing Glasgow, I'd go. Yeah, genuinely.
Well, then we would have representation from Crowpod. Then that's all I have to say.
I'm not stupid. I would take Lauren, my stepdaughter.
Who
was a kind of skater girl at the time. So I would take her. I'm not insane. And say, oh, I'm just, you know, my daughter dragged me along. I'm not. Oh, by the way, I might say to you lads, I brought this thing, and I assume you always get stuff before we do, right? That's one of the things with the US, with the exception of, you know, the giving up on life as a thing, as we have done collectively in Britain, just giving up on everything and say, you're still like, you still have religion and stuff like that over there.
We're still plucky.
You're dead sweet. Yeah. You're still to learn, basically. You're not cynical yet, right? You're still not jaded enough, but they're bringing a thing over in the Odeon cinema chain that they're going to introduce beds. And you will be able to hire, you know, because there's seats, obviously, and there are now couches has become a thing, right, where you can get a couch. And now, the next, and I just thought, see, when I was like 14 or 15, and your parents weren't all that keen on you bringing girls back to the house and, you know, getting up to no good, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
I know what those beds are going to be used for.
Yeah.
And it isn't hygienic.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you don't even got to worry about cutting the hole in the popcorn bucket with that one.
No. And,
those mattresses are showing up in Homer Simpson's Mattress Land.
Yeah.
It smells in there. No, it doesn't.
who the fuck has sang? Who thought that's a good idea? Can you imagine that? You're at a cinema and there's some assholes.
I have a hard time going to cinema at all, even because, you know, like all of them have these ridiculously oversized. Yes, the oversized, the way too comfortable chairs.
No, they're the best.
I can't do it. Like, I can't remember what the hell the last movie I went to see was. I mean, it's been so good. I think I've gone like twice since COVID because it's just
I think our last one, it was the 1-2 punch of Oppenheimer and Barbie, and I believe we saw them in that order.
No.
Like in two successive weekends.
Well, and then the worst part to couple with that, now all the fucking cinemas have bars in them.
Yes, so they do.
Feed me booze and put me in the most comfortable chair in the world in a dark room.
Are you out of
your fucking mind?
And they bring you the booze. You don't even need to get up and go for it, right?
They will just press
a button and they will bring you. If I went to cinema and there was a bed, I'd be asleep and you would need to wake me at the end of the movie. It would be a complete waste of time and money. But if I was 15, 16, then yes. Yes. That would be getting used and not for the purposes of movie watching.
No.
Boy,
Grant wants to know if it's bad to lose against the Vikings. How bad is it to lose to the Bears?
Oh,
it's really bad. Yeah,
it's not great. I'm a fan of the Bears, and I was like, I feel sorry for David.
There have been some horrible teams in NFL history, right? I think this is the worst coached team ever.
They're fucking dreadful. I mean,
he's a fucking moron. I mean, the crazy thing is, he'll come out and talk about like, you know, shit like play calling or something like that. It's like you run the offense. What do you do? Like, well, you know, we were a little bit disappointed with some of the play calling there. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What?
Yeah.
Oh
no, this is very Vikings because we beat the 49ers who we had no right at all to beat. They're much better.
And you two are just now talking to each other.
it's very Vikings.
It'd be different if I gave a fuck.
but it's absolute randomness with the Vikings. It doesn't matter if the other team are good or bad. The Vikings will win some games and they will lose some games. It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. Because it will end, as Shane said, 10-7, whatever, right? That's what they'll do. So, you know, of course they lost to the Bears, who are absolute dreck. And then they could be playing someone fantastic next week and win. It's just, they're so, you know, that's actually why I'm quite fond of them, because they're just this absolute fucking clapped out car that somehow still goes, still just battles along. Isn't bothered by, you know,
like a 96 Mondeo with 248,000 miles on it.
Nobody notices it. I haven't
changed the oil in like 6 years, and somehow this fucking thing's still running.
This fucking thing will just keep going, and that's what they're like. But yeah, the Bears are a really terrible team, and it's kind of sad actually. If you like NFL, especially in the UK, because a lot of us, you mentioned there, Todd, that team that was kind of like the first big team for a lot of us, the French, Walter Payton, and guys like that. And to see them in this state, and they are in a state, is actually quite sad.
I will point out, you know, see, this is much like the 49ers when they last won the Super Bowl, right? Because we only ever used to win Super Bowls. We never lost any. You know, we're 5-5. But the last time we won it, what did we do the next season? We changed our uniforms, which you don't do after you've just won something.
Nope. Right.
The Bears, last won the Super Bowl, 1985 season, you know, in January 1986, win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
1986 season comes around, they got rid of the Honey Bears, which were the cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. And they haven't won the Super Bowl since.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that if that ain't causal, I don't know what the fuck is.
I mean, Bill Parilko's body is one thing, but when you ditch cheerleaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. I mean, it's half the fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last one here. Gavin wants to know, If you left the PLZ soccer team in a room with a packet of crayons, mm-hmm. who would be the first one to stick one up his nose?
That's tough.
I think Lennon would try to chew him.
I would say Lennon by invite.
It's actually quite, sometimes you're dealing with people when you don't want to be nasty. It's like Barry Robson, you know, the Aberdeen manager.
Yeah.
There was a, I'm going to end that topic and move on to a completely unrelated topic.
Do you remember? Lennon, now here's this.
In Viz magazine, Barry Robson is the Aberdeen manager. Do you remember years ago in Viz magazine, there was a character called Terry Fuckwit, the unintelligent cartoon character?
Beautiful.
Barry Robson is the Aberdeen manager.
Oh, God. I can't believe, you know, I mean, obviously I can't believe it, but I mean, the clearest VAR penalty that has ever VAR'd.
Correct. I know. Yes.
You know, and now we've got to go through another week of this shit. When they got two penalties and an extra quarter hour to try to beat Motherwell at home.
The other thing about it is we've moved into this really fucking weird phrase of where they all, and they're all actually saying this, where it's, well, yeah, it is a penalty, but.
Yeah.
No, but.
Yeah.
Right, you said it yourself. It is a penalty. It's basically just. Yeah, but I didn't want them to get it. And that's fair enough, but it's not a rule, unfortunately, for you guys that does it. But yeah, we've actually moved into this completely fucking kaleidoscopic mentalness of, well, yeah, I know it's a penalty, but.
But.
Yeah.
There is no but. I know it's a penalty. This conversation has now stopped.
Mm-hmm. This is what stands up is what, I don't know, editors, content managers, whatever the fuck you want to call mm-hmm. them, think is, you know, marketable, saleable, and worth time. Like, look, if you want to learn about football, you'd be better off listening to this show.
Oh, dear me. Oh, no.
Let us
not say things that we can't take back.
See, as an aside and a serious point for once, if somebody runs a content business, the reason that these things are all dying is because of that. I know that if I decided to go out tomorrow and say, right, lads, what we're going to do is we're going to change this to, we're going to change it now, but we're going to have one person will take one opinion, one person mm-hmm. will take the other. We're only going to focus on controversial things and we're just going to shout at each other and we'll have these arguments. You would get a lot of clips and views. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't get any investment. No one would... take a subscription to Heart and Hand. And that's why the industry is dying, because they go for this cheap, quick thing of, clicks and hits. And but nobody then buys into your product. Nobody respects it. Nobody wants to be a part of it. Nobody wants to support it. They may occasionally click the link, right? But mm-hmm. it's a zero-sum game. And long-term, nobody will buy it. And that's the difference. If you're going to do the shock jock stuff, it works for a little while in any form. It does work for a little while, but after a while, people just get really, really tired of it.
Well, I was looking. I mean, that Terrace podcast for their big one on Monday, like they're selling ones. Quote: why shirt tugs away from the ball shouldn't be penalties. Why a foul off the ball shouldn't be a foul. I mean, if we're going to go down that route, I think he's just be able to kick fuck out of anybody who doesn't have the ball.
That's basically what he'll say. So fouls should only count if Rangers don't benefit from them. And if they would just be honest and say that. But again, if you ever want an indication of why Rangers will always be the biggest club in the country and why Rangers will always be the number one club, unfortunately not as successful as we want it to be currently, but they've won the league 11 years at the last 12.
Yeah.
And it's us. Yeah. I mean, it has zero relevance to all these other teams that they focus on, but it's all Rangers, 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 Rangers. We're the second place. Why are you focusing on us? We're not the ones that are winning trophies or stopping you doing X or Y, unfortunately. We hope to be soon, but we're not currently. We haven't been for a long time. So it just shows you that Rangers is the first thought in everybody's head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... Yeah. No. Yep. Oh God, Onion headlines. I got a
which one?
Co-workers accidentally lock eyes through small space and bathroom stall door.
Beautiful.
No.
Beautiful. It's horrible when it happens. It's like, I will first hop over to the Reductress. Mom misses cute age when children were entirely beholden to her godlike authority. But here's one for David. British Museum under pressure to return looted Hello Kitty phone case to mall kiosk.
Yeah. There's actually been, and it's quite interesting because sad history geek that I am, I read, you know, all the history magazines and stuff, and they keep you up to date with what's happening, and I suppose the industry's probably one of a better term. But we quite often in the UK say no to this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, like, there's a big campaign to get the Benin bronzes returned to Benin, right?
Yeah.
And we thought about it for a bit, and then the British Museum said no. And it's quite interesting that in a very, very, you know, moving PC society, woke, whatever you want to call it, right, that Britain kind of, you know, bends over backwards in certain ways, does certain things, but the shit we stole, we're keeping. Yeah. And, you know, you can't, I like this one, lads. Biden campaign imperiled by really scratchy blanket that makes it hard for president to sleep. And I thought Shane would like this one. Police proudly take photo with evidence that they plan on planting during raid.
The initial one that got me was a naive woman asking about boyfriend's video game has no idea dark precedent she set.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like the modern day Mother Teresa waits for player on stretcher to give thumbs up before considering fantasy implications.
Yeah. We've all been there.
This is gonna fuck up my coupon. God damn it.
Speaking of which, from our doctors, mom wishes you'd see things from her fucked up point of view.
There was another one that I think resonates with, certainly with me, and I'm sure with a lot of other people. It's, Mom, totally okay with you not coming home for Thanksgiving this year because you don't love her anymore. And I'm sure, a son out there that hasn't had that fucking, oh no, that's absolutely, you're busy, you're too busy for me, and that's fine.
No, it's
you've
okay.
Got your own life, don't worry. Yeah. Look, Mom, I'm literally on the phone to you right now.
Yeah,
we can have a conversation right now. I just can't come don't you worry, you know, I won't be here forever, right enough, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. yeah
well, my mom's about to celebrate her 80th, and for dinner, Guess where my mom wants to go for dinner, and to give you a bit more info, the grandkids, who are 16 and 14, are coming. So guess where my mom wants to have her 80th birthday. Mom's big day. Big day out. Guess where we're going.
Cracker Barrel.
Mandarin.
See,
you can get egg rolls and prime rib the pizza.
I could advise you on proper Chinese food, having just been to Hong Kong last week, but I don't like to talk about it.
Sounds like my parents actually came up for Thanksgiving, so that was
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
That is nice.
Well, because I did the thing, you know, like I invited them fully with the expectation my mom would go, because, you know, no, we're already, but if you want to come over here, you can, you know, I was waiting for that response. I was like, hey, you know, we're going to have Thanksgiving, why don't you come on up? And then she said, yes. And then I had to go, oh, fuck.
Yes.
Don't expect that.
No. I'll throw one more out from the great Rockford collection of Onion headlines.
Oh, beautiful. Let's have it.
Funeral. All right.
Ha 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 ha.
And you can experience that at Crowpod Fest.
Yes. Funeral's all right.
Oh, man. Like I said, if you're a supporter of the show or whatever, you guys get some emails from me every once in a while. Whenever I get done with this meeting today and I can talk to the NARSA guys Wednesday, hopefully we'll have a little bit of an idea of how we're going to go about this. So, but yeah, that's it. That's it. I think we're all done. David, of course, you can find on Twitter at Ibrox Rocks and find him on, well, some Heart and Hand stuff while he's not drugged up. So, well, you can find him Friday. You can find him Friday at Edmondson House. So there you go. Go get tickets if you got nothing to do Friday night. Go watch Mark Haitley.
Yeah. Not an awful lot of David led content on Heart and Hand this week, it has to be said. But yeah.
It's kind of like me last week. Like it was just no.
I'm doing what I got to do. But if you're coming on Friday, I promise I'll dig it up for a couple of hours. I'll be Red Bulled to the max and get through it. But Mark Haitley will be there anyway. And, you know,
nobody wants to listen to you when he's around.
Exactly. So, Mark Haitley talking about scalping the Tims. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah. Todd, of course, you can find on Twitter at HeyIt'sTVA. Find all the stuff, HeyIt'sTVA.com. I know, you had a busy week last week. Do you got anything else coming up here?
I think I got a couple of shows. You can go to HeyIt'sTVA.com/calendar for them. Okay. They're going to be in the Ottawa area. I'm not doing a lot of traveling around outside of the Christmas holidays around here for corporates and stuff like that. David at the next live Heart and Hand is going to remind me of my favorite Craig Moore moment, which was immediately
Craig!
After. He's getting better. That's good. That's a good sign. He was looking a little labored in the New Year's Day fixture. And the commentary said as much, and they shot to him being very sluggish. And then he trapped a pass, sent it along. They kept the camera on him. He vomited on the field, corner of his mouth, received another pass, hit it along, and then started running off. And all the commentator said was, Craig Moore seems to be moving a lot more livelier now. So,
fair enough. Like when Gary Lineker shot himself.
Didn't even get a card for it either. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
All right. That's it. We're going to wrap it up. I'll be back. More Crowpod stuff later this week, either second in news or we'll have another Don't Ask Me No Questions. But yeah, everybody have a good week. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
But you can't be fucking serious at all.